Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Carolina This Week in UNC Baseball with head coach Scott Forbes. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's Matt Clements. We're sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt. Got Coach Forbes with us as always. And Coach, I got to tell you, that was an impressive weekend in Bosshammer Stadium, sweeping Georgia Tech, who was coming off a sweep of NC State, and doing it in the fashion after those first two innings of Friday's brunch time game.
Yeah.
It was really, truly all Carolina all the time, all weekend after those first two innings. Your thoughts on just how your team played in general?
Yeah, you know, we talked about as a staff, I've been kind of thinking with this team that they're a type of team, they have the makeup to continue to get better. Doesn't mean we're always going to play great, but, you know, every team's different, and this team's so driven and so team-oriented, and they work. So you should get a little bit better as the season moves along. And I thought we, you know, I feel like we're playing a little bit better, a little bit better. Obviously, we had the one game at Miami where we got run-ruled. But we won those two midweek games against a really good Rutgers team that I think's only lost one game since that game. So I felt like we were trending in the right direction. We had some guys that were banged up, that were getting healthier. And we played really well against Wilmington in the middle of the week, and that carried over. You know, Folger had to fight through Friday, but the same thing is how I looked at it is we had a couple innings, a couple things here or there that we need to clean up. But other than that, I felt like we played just good baseball altogether. You know, from the old school coaching side of the fundamental side of pitching, defending, base running, timely hitting, those type of things. And, you know, I'm proud for our guys because it's an awesome group and they get after it.
A lot to talk about there, but I wanted to ask you about Folger a little bit. And you never want to get your butt beat. And quite frankly, Miami had him dialed in, or dialed into him on that Friday. Ultimately, though, is that a good thing for him to sort of taste that, to realize that, hey, it's not as easy as I'm making it look so far? I mean, is that a thing for a young player?
Yeah, I mean, we say all the time, adversity introduces a man to himself. And Folger had a lot of success in the preseason. That's why he pitched on Friday. He didn't have those struggles much even against our own guys. He gave up a couple home runs here or there. But he's been pitching really well compared to a DeCaro who – had a couple rough outings in the preseason, which is, and Sprague. So they had failed more than Folger. Folger just not failed until the season started. But it always is good for you. Makes you better, makes you tougher. You find out more about yourself. And as a coach, you find out more about the individual player. You know, how can he handle failure? How can he handle getting kicked in the teeth a little bit? You know, can he get through it quickly? Because the kids that can get through it quickly, especially the young ones, sometimes you have to learn how to fail because you hadn't failed a lot and learn how to deal with it. But the guys that are younger that can deal with it quicker have a tendency to be out there more at a young age. And Folger's one of those for sure.
Well, Coach, certainly you got a gem on Sunday from Sprague. I mean, he was working very efficiently. You know, he had a career high with eight innings pitched. Can you talk about what made him so successful against Georgia Tech and how his arsenal makes it difficult for batters to deal with his off-speed stuff and than
him. Yeah, you know, I thought Shea made a good point. I was reading, I think just our website, you know, he had asked, somebody had asked him about, you know, how he felt, and he felt like the changeup was such a feel pitch, and we had to shut him down because of innings pitch. So he had not pitched as much as the other guys. He didn't pitch in the fall hardly at all. And he started a little bit later with his throwing progression. He did pitch in the preseason, but the preseason is so, you know, short. It takes a little bit of time. So that pitch, number one, has gotten to where we saw it and where it was when he was at Elon. He's worked in the weight room. He's gotten bigger and stronger. So now he's able to have a little more velocity with a little more movement. And that's what he's been doing each outing. You know, he's a big kid. He's a physical kid. He can handle the workload. But now that he's got that changeup working, he can throw that fastball if it's 85, if it's 89. 85 looks like 89, and 89 is going to look like 94 because how good the changeup is. And he's also really worked at learning to pitch in. And you have to be able to do that in the ACC. And you have to move the ball if you're not a guy that's, you know, throwing really, really hard with a high spin rate, that type of thing. So he's working ahead, throwing a ton of strikes, not getting behind the count too often. And then he has been able to, Matt, to take that changeup in a 2-0 count, in a 3-1 count, and throw it for a really quality pitch. Same thing to left-handers with his breaking ball when he needs it.
And something that's been very successful for the Diamond Heels this year, the Diamond Heels have only given up 10 stolen bases. And I know Sprague's picked two runners. Does he have the best pickoff move?
He's got one of them. Our best defense against a running game is Luke Stevenson, obviously, because he's got that bazooka, and teams know it and they see it. But our pitchers have done a great job. Coach Allen, Coach Gaines, you know, they work a ton with our guys, and our guys understand, hey, if you're going to pitch here, you're not going to be a 1-5 to the plate. You're not going to be a 1-4-5. So you're going to have to do your part as well. Because if I'm in there as the head coach with a stopwatch and we're playing a team like us that is aggressive on the bases and you're a 1-4 or 1-5, it doesn't matter who's behind the plate. So if our pitchers, you know, it starts with our pitchers and Coach Gaines and Coach Howell works with our left-handed pitchers on their pickoff moves. And Shea might have one of the best on our team. But our other guys, it's not just a pickoff move. It's varying your holds, you know, changing your how long you hold to distribute the base runner's timing, but also being quick to the plate. You know, you don't have to slide step necessarily, but if you can stay below a 1-3-5 with a guy like Luke, we're going to have a chance to throw that base runner out every time.
Now, when you talk about, you know, following these, you know, pitch times to the plate, you know, certainly I've noticed that y'all stay really on top of how the opposing pitching is, you know, working to the plate and getting that information out. Can you talk about how successful the Diamond Heels have been? I mean, 47 of 49, that's stealing everything that's not nailed down. And if it is nailed down, you're prying it up.
Yeah, you know, we put another – I mean, obviously you've got Vance Honeycutt, so that's just freakish speed. But, you know, D'Onofrio is a good base stealer. Madeira's becoming a better base stealer. And then we've incorporated the vault steal at first base. You know, Casey was banged up a little bit with his quad, so he didn't have the green light as much. He's got that back now, so he can start stealing some more bases. A guy like Colby Wilkerson, Van de Break, and even a guy like Alberto Osuna, that's where the scouting comes in. If you're a 1-5 or, you know, hovering somewhere between a 1-5 and 1-6, I'm going to steal anybody. And our guys, you know, we work on it in practice. Here's what you're going to do when I give you the green light in that situation. Because if I give Alberto Osuna the green light, he knows, like, Coach Forbes wants me to go for a reason. But you have to emphasize it. You have to work on it. We spend a lot of time on our leads at first base, our breaks, and the same thing at second base, and our dirt ball reads too. You know, anytime that ball gets in the dirt, we want to try to get in scoring position. Because we can get that extra base, especially, you know, if you can get to second base with less than – with no outs, chances of getting third, one out are really good.
Yeah, so, you know, Honeycutt had that bunt attempt. He got thrown out yesterday. And some folks on our message boards, quite frankly, were saying, why would you bunt in that situation? And I'm like, well, if he gets on, it's a triple, you know, a virtual triple. So there, you've got that going.
But, well, of course they're saying that because he didn't get on.
Exactly.
You know, Vance, that's a part of it. He's a good bunter. Sometimes, you know, you just – it's like you just don't have – you don't get it where you want to get it. Mm-hmm. But having that as a part of your game and having that in the scouting report is important for Vance because Vance is going to roll over a ball every now and then. If that third baseman is playing in and he can't get to it, obviously it's a single. So it also makes the infield bigger for you as a hitter. And with his speed, like you said, it's at least a double, most of the time a triple, and he wants that to be part of his game, just like it was part of Trey Turner's game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't – I asked him about patrolling the outfield, and he said, yeah, I was blessed with good speed, so that certainly helps. But let me stay here on the pitching. I thought something was interesting. Vance Honeycutt's at the plate. Georgia Tech gets him in a 1-2 hole and then changes pitchers. And then first pitch, home run, three-run home run, virtually the ball game. When you're deciding to take a pitcher out, we talked a little bit post-game last night about Shea Sprague going out for the ninth and all that. What is your ultimate deciding factor? I know you guys are big on analytics, yeah, big on the numbers. How much is a gut feel like? I just feel like I need to make this move.
For me, the gut's more important than the analytics, especially in college. I mean, you've got the analytics, but I've been coaching long enough to have like a pretty decent, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you have some feel for your players and all those years coaching, or your pitchers. Coaching pitchers, you know, we know how he got to where he is too. You know, like in Shea's example, he wasn't too taxed yesterday in an inning, the one inning where they scored one run. He threw more probably than the other innings. But we're also looking at like, okay, you know, what's his stuff looking like, overall stuff right now at this point in the game. In that situation, you know, you're going to be the hero or the goat there. I've seen it really work at times. For me, a lot of times, it's hard for me to take a pitcher out in that situation unless a hitter's fouled off like 10 or 11 balls. But they obviously saw something, and they like that matchup better. And if that guy comes in there and throws one pitch and strikes Vance out, it's the right decision. But they decided to try to get, you know, sneak a fastball by him, I guess, and it didn't work. So it came out in our favor. But for me, I'm looking more like, okay, what is best in that exact situation? And in Shea's case, with his pitch count getting that high, I was like, okay, we're going to keep him in a perfect world. He gets his first guy out in about two pitches, the next guy in about four, and then three. So if he gets too high in his pitch count, we're going to take him out. And then if one guy gets on, let's go ahead and make this move so we don't tax him anymore. The harder ones for me, though, are not like the one yesterday where Georgia Tech did that. It's more like your starter's throwing really well. Or like, look at Maddie on Friday. You know, Maddie was throwing really well, but Maddie's thrown a lot. And Maddie hasn't thrown over 45 pitches hardly all year as a reliever, and he gets to that point almost to 50. It's like, okay, he's one of our best relievers. We do have a lead. We've got two really bullpen arms, and at the time it didn't look great, you know, because you got Pence and Poston. But you have to know, you got to trust your gut in that situation. That's what I do.
Let me ask you about, and we're talking with head coach Scott Forbes of the Diamond Hills of North Carolina here on Inside Carolina This Week in Baseball. Scott, how much scouting goes into individual games? Obviously, you scout for the weekend, but I found it interesting. They bring in this pitcher, and I don't have his name in front of me, and Vance said, I knew his best pitch was a changeup. This is a guy that they brought in to throw one pitch to me, and I know exactly what he's looking at. How much scouting goes into, A, the coaches doing y'all's job, but also the players doing the film work and whatever else to be prepared for individual players on another team, whether it's a pitcher, your pitchers, or whether it's your hitters facing their pitchers?
A lot, to answer your question. And now, though, it's easier from the standpoint you can do it quicker because of advanced technology, the video we have, obviously the internet's faster. You know, I remember scouting games in Omaha that were maybe on ESPN where you had the little red bar and you had to go back and there was no like slow motion. So those took longer, but still, like, you know, the facts are the facts. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. I mean, we all know that. So I'm never comfortable going into a game not doing everything that we could have done to prepare our team, number one, for the game, but then to prepare for the other team. You know, I don't want our guys too focused on the other team as a coach. I want them to focus on what we do. And in the game, you know, occasionally we'll be in the cage today if we get A&T starter, and we'll talk about his starter a little bit. We won't watch too much video, but, you know, talking to all of our guys that went on to play in the big leagues, like, you know, we talked to Kyle Seager, we talked to all these hitters. What do you like to know? BJ start off. Well, basically, what's his best pitch? You know, if it is his fastball, you know, what kind of life does it have and that type of thing? And then what's his best off-speed pitch or any tendencies? And then the running game, like you said, he has got a really good pickoff move, where he has a terrible pickoff move and he's slow to the plate, those type of things. But we spent a lot of time. And the first thing I walked in this morning, walked down and said good morning to Coach Gaines, and he's like, A&T's good. You know, he's got his report up. He's already watching video on their hitters. So a lot of time is spent, especially by our coaches. I mean, they work hard to prepare. And now as a head coach, they bring me the report, and, you know, I look it over. So I know coaching third base, and then I might pull up a little bit of video myself just to put my eyes on their starter, or if they have a couple really, really good hitters, and Coach Gaines wants me to look at them. So if he asks my opinion in a game, like, hey, what pitch do you think here? I want to be prepared for that as well. But it's something we enjoy too. It's fun. It's fun to do that.
Well, also, can you talk about how the analytics department helps you get ready? Like, say, for instance, what are they doing to help you get ready for Wake? Like, are y'all able to program, say, for instance, Chase Burns into a pitching machine and have people see what his arsenal is? Or
we Josh Hartle? We got to play A&T first.
Oh, I know.
Matt.
I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse.
17-6, and they just smoked somebody yesterday, like 18-6. So, but yes, you know, our analytic team will give us the numbers, pull them off the track, man, give us some different facts. They'll give us the umpire reports, what the umpire's tendencies are in their career. You know, are they bigger? Do they call more on the right side of the plate? Do they call more on the left side of the plate? Do they call the ball up? Do they call the ball down? Because you want to be prepared for that too, because some umpires are tighter, some are bigger. It also prepares me maybe to try not to yell too much. So I already know that this guy's going to be bad before. But yeah, we, you know, now you can program the pitcher in a pitching machine. It's called the iPitch. I can take his analytics and put it in there and set it up on the field or set it up in the cages, and we can face Chase Burns. And there won't be a lot of contact that day. You know, it's like when we put Gallen in, but the harder you make it, we're trying to make it as hard as we can on our players. So maybe it's a little easier in the game, because it's still harder off the machine because you don't have the arm and the timing. Because we want to take as much as we can out when the game starts, and it be more just about trusting themselves and competing. But the preparation is really neat now to see. You know, I think back when I played, like, that would be really neat to go in there against the machine and just face, you know, whoever it is, A&T starter. I get to face him today and kind of see what the ball might look like.
Yeah. Can you talk about what Kyle Percival showed you on Saturday, and then Poston showing tremendous velocity? I mean, he was getting up to 96, reaching back there and just sort of getting after it.
I'm proud of Kyle Percival. I mean, in today's world that we live in, of the transfer portal, phenomenal kid, phenomenal student. You just look at him, you can see how much better shape he's in. You see the ball come out of his hand. He's pitched well for us. He just hasn't put guys away out of the bullpen, like strikeouts. And they worked really hard this week on making the two-strike slider harder. Don't be worried about throwing it for a strike and trust that the hitter is going to swing at it. And right out of the gate, he faces Ellis, and that's what he does. He gets him to 3-2. Throws him a hard slider down and away. He chases it. He's really learned to compete. He'd be a starting pitcher for a lot of people, maybe even on the weekend. And he probably will be over time here, but he's a great teammate. And he was our MVP of that game. He slowed them down, gave us, if we give up four or five more runs in this league, it's hard to recover. He bridged that gap and we were able to score. And then Poston, he's one of our best guys. And, my biggest concern on Friday was he hadn't pitched in a while. That's why I decided to go to Pence, because Pence also usually don't walk people, but he walked three. And I knew, when we put him in, I said, man, there's no better guy to put in right now. I knew that he would have a little edge and not be happy about how he had pitched the day before. And I felt like he was being a little bit too tentative. So we talked about that and just throw the ball right down the middle with that velocity and go after him. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, those guys play much better when they've got a little bit of that swag going.
Yes.
And it certainly showed. Tuesday starter, A&T, who you got? Olin Johnson's going to roll again, and I assume the weekend remains set.
The weekend remains the same, and, you know, we were we were glad now to have Olin kind of like Spray. We've got him in a routine where he can really throw a bullpen. He can really rip that ball in the bullpen in our new indoor facility. And that helps his arm strength get better, helps him develop better. I mean, obviously he's available on Sundays if we needed him, but I still think Olin Johnson, his upside, like, you know, out of the blue, I think, you know, we're just going to see like a 96 and we're going to be like, whoa, because he's got it in there. And I'm hoping maybe he'll, as the weather warms up, you know, his arm's going to heat up.
Couple of fun questions before we let you go. I know you're busy. How much do you read? How much do your players read and pay attention? I had a screenshot here. Grace's article's front page on Inside Carolina right now for the week, recapping your series. I think the quote you referenced earlier, I put on the message boards. I'm not sure if y'all had it on the team site, but how much do you pay attention to what the outside world says? Serious question.
Me?
You personally, and then how much you think your players, I mean, they can speak for themselves, but how much do you think they pay attention?
Me, zero. I just made that decision when these message boards started. And I understood after a couple of years of being a pitching coach and you kind of have your own team within the team. You know, that's, those things, they just, they're a waste of time and they're distractions. And I've been a fan before and I love all, you know, fans are fans. And I just accepted, like, unless you win the last game, and that is the national championship, you're going to get eaten alive. That's part of being a coach. And so I don't get on a message board. I don't read that stuff. I try not to even get caught up in the rankings. I talk to our guys, like, you know, let's make them write about us. That's what you need to try to do. Make them write about us. And then if they do, okay, your head's not going to, we're going to do like Nick Saban, not let it be rat poison. But, you know, I talk to our players about it because it's different. It, you know, social media is real. And, you know, the players are going to be on it. And I just encourage them, like, you know, don't let your head get too big when things are going great. You know, people are talking about you, praising you, you're the best thing in the world. You know, you threw eight innings because, and then don't, you know, if somebody says something about you that you don't like, don't let it get you down. Cause you know, the people that are in your circle, which is really small, and that circle is going to grow. I mean, it's not going to grow. It's going to shrink as you get older and you really start figuring people out. There aren't many people that you really, really care what they say or what they think. And those are the people that you know are going to love you no matter what. But, it, you know, I want to help our guys with that. I tell them all the time, there should be no pressure on you. I want it to be pleasure. I want you to have a blast. And I want to take all that off of you. I want you to try to stay off that stuff as much as you can, but you know, you would have to ask them. But I'm amazed at how grown adults, some of the things that they say about these kids, it blows my mind. And it's sad, you know, it's like, goodness gracious, you know, like my grandmother, Mary Doris Forbes, the best lady ever. She used to say, if you ain't got something nice to say, don't say anything, just shut your mouth. And if more people did that, the world would be a way better place. I'm not trying to go off on a tangent here.
But now, we like soapboxes, and man, I agree with you.
I protect these kids. You know, I care about them. We're proud of, you know, our guys know how much we love them, and I don't want them to ever let a social media post or, you know, be something that they don't need to let that define them. And they know that, and we talk about it. We talk about it often. You know, take a social media break, but on the reverse side of that, Tommy, the big thing is, you know, don't let that head get too big either. You know, yeah. John Wooden always said, you know, a lot of people would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. And sometimes some criticism by the right people is good. So just filter the right and the wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you credit because what you said about Folger, about when he came off, he was pissed off or whatever after the strikeout of Ellis, and you told him, man, this is fun. You know, this is the type of thing we're supposed to be doing, and it's a game. And so yeah. I'll give you credit. You certainly live it in your actions. Now let me ask you this, and Matt's got one for you too. It's more fun. Give me a favorite player not Carolina-related. And it can be – well, we'll do baseball since we're all baseball today. It cannot be – any of your fellow Tar Heels. It's got to be somebody that maybe you grew up paying attention to.
Golly, I have so many favorite players. I mean, baseball?
If you want to go, I'll let you go otherwise, but baseball would be interesting. Ricky Henderson was my favorite baseball player.
Yeah.
Always.
When you're a sports fan, I mean, my first love by far was football. So I probably would go like that route. And, you know, back in the day, you know, I loved football. I loved playing linebacker in high school. So for me, back then, it was like watching highlights of like a Dick Butkus, a Mike Singletary, or even Lawrence Taylor, like guys that just play with their hair on fire that would knock your head off. Baseball-wise, I mean, good night. I'm such a big Braves fan. You know, when they had Maddox and they had Glavin and they had Avery, Rafael Furcal, who I met, one of our commitments in Atlanta, his godfather is Furcal. I didn't even know it. I met him and I didn't even know it was Rafael Furcal. So I was kind of blown away. And then Caleb Kosh, y'all love this. One of his first cousins is Andre Dawson, the Hawk. And our guys didn't even know who he was. I'm like, you guys.
How do you not know who Andre Dawson? I got his autograph like in 84.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to say one baseball player that blew me away, would be Bo Jackson. I was just blown away with what he was able to do and still be that good for the Raiders. Like, so, I mean, I could go on and on. Like, I'm a big sports fan. Same thing with basketball. You know, there's just so much tradition. I like to say Michael Jordan because who wouldn't? He's still the best ever. And we have this debate in our locker room all the time. Obviously, I'm like, it's not even close, guys.
Yeah, they don't. These young, what are we doing with these young people today? You know,
they don't know. Yeah, they don't know. Like, when you went down the lane back in the day when Jordan played, you came out with bruises.
Yeah.
Now
you come out with people getting flagrants and shooting multiple free throws. I mean,
yeah. Well, I always have a soft spot in my heart for anybody who's a defensive back and an outfielder. I mean, look at Deion Sanders. So
unreal.
I feel bad for Caleb Kosh because he's going to get all this attention because of the obsession with, you know, outfielders and defensive backs. But on a completely unrelated note, Coach Forbes, can you talk about having J.R. Anton come to be the bat boy for the Diamond Heels? God. How that works out?
Yeah, man, you're not supposed to. I'll get emotional talking about J.R. J.R. is special. You know, I sent our guys a really neat – I don't know if y'all saw the Tonight Show where Tim Tebow was on it with the Tim Tebow Foundation, where they roll out the red carpet, you know, for kids that have different type of things, you know, from autism to cerebral palsy to whatever it is. Just making these kids feel like they have their own red carpet and how important they are. We met JR in Omaha. You know, I've known him since 2006, I believe, the first year we went out there. And then the tradition began where he would come here and he'd get some treatment here at UNC hospitals. And he'd bat boys. And sometimes he'll stay with some of our players. Heck, one year in Omaha, he stayed in the hotel room with Michael Bush. So I'm like, okay, our guys, like, they're, you know, we have special kids too. And knowing the what that disease is like and the time frame of it, you know, every day now for me that I get to see JR, talk to JR and be around him is precious because the time is going quicker. And, you know, he's in our locker room. He's in our meetings. He's yelling during the game. You know, it's awesome. We sent him a pair of Air Jordans and I was asking him like, man, why aren't you wearing the Jordans when you're bat boy? He's like, Coach, I can't mess them up. So, you know, he only wears them when he's not on the field. So he's here with us one more day before he has to head back to Omaha tomorrow. So the guys will hang out with him, I'm sure, and take him to a good dinner. And, he's just part of our family, and, you know, he considers himself on our team, and we consider him being on our team.
Man, that's awesome. Such more than a game. More than a game.
Big-time perspective, you know, and that's what's kind of lost, and that's why I'm trying to help these kids because of social media, like you said. We all played because we love playing, and I don't want that to be lost. And when you see a guy like JR, he sure would love to be playing. You know, you got Bryce who, you know, passed away with cancer, is one of our guys. You got his helicopter riding over our field every single day. That's a life or death 99% of the time. So just remind these guys, like, the looser you play, the more fun you're going to have. There really is no pressure. The pressure is what you put on yourself, and, you know, enjoy the every day. Enjoy every single day because you can't get it back. And if there's not a reminder, you know, Easter's a perfect reminder for all of us for that.
Yeah, well said there. I so many things to say, so many thoughts about stuff like that. But, yeah, a lot of folks take a lot of things for granted, and we should not.
Oh, man.
Because yeah, it's a blessing every day.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, Coach Davis said it best, you know, every day, you know, it is a good or bad, you know, it's a makes you better and don't waste it.
Yep, indeed. Great way to end it. We appreciate your time, Scott. I hope I hope folks that have listened have heard the message. But Carolina baseball, A&T on Tuesday night, Olin Johnson starting. Trip to Winston-Salem on Easter weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Face the Demon Deacons. Should be an interesting one. Matt Clements, Coach Forbes, as always, appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a great Easter.
Do the same.
See you guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.